Amen and amen. One of the things that used to really irritate me growing up, I grew up with not too many. I didn't have brothers or sisters, so I had a cousin. Her name was Big Patricia. Her name was Patty Ann Davis, but we all called her Big Patricia because she matured before we did, and she grew taller than we did, and she could run faster than we could run. She could beat us all up, amen, if she wanted to. And she had red hair and freckles, and she was a tomboy, and she was one of my best friends. But she used to really irritate me when I'd say, Why don't you come and be the captain of our team? Because we'll beat them if you get up to bat. And she'd say, just because. Ever had anybody say, just because? Why can't I go? Just because I said so. Just because. I want to hear the reason. I want somebody to explain it to me. I want to be like Lucy's husband. Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Can you say amen? I wish God would explain everything to me. But there's a lot of things God asks us to accept by faith. To just accept it because He declared it. He said it. And here's a formula I want us to change. And I've used the formula and I want to change it with me too. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That should be altered. That should be altered. It sounds so right. But the Bible said, thy word, once God speaks it, thy word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. So if you want to really be biblical, God said it, that settles it. Amen. And when I believe it, it'll be manifest to me. But it's not settled because I believe it. It's settled because He said it. Hath He not said it, and will He not do it? I watch over my word to perform it. He said, not one jot or tittle of my word, not one period or comma is going to fail. Everything I said, amen, is going to come to pass just like I said it. And there's some things He asked us initially to accept by faith. And one of those things is how much He loves us. The Bible said that you've got to have faith to receive it. Amen. 1 John says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. Amen. There is no fear, no fear in love. For perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. Now, some of you here today would prefer to get in, not use your faith at all, just get in a line and say, I'm so fearful of so many things, I must have a spirit of fear. Well, that's based on a scripture that doesn't have anything to do with the netherworld or the minions. I have no doubt Satan will capitalize on the lack of faith and an open door and come in. But what you need is to be, you're underdeveloped in love. You don't need deliverance from fear. You need to develop in love. Amen. Because perfect love does what? It casts out all fear. Amen? We don't need deliverance service. You need to use your faith. The cross has to start speaking louder than your circumstances. The cross has to start speaking louder than your emotions. Jesus on the cross is screaming, I love you. You say, but Brother Bimble, if God loved me, why is this happening? Because you live in a fallen world, in a faulty body. And number two, you're not receiving His love to keep you and sustain you. You're doubting His love. Remember this story? I want to run this by you because we want to get it right. How many want to get it right? God said it. That settles it. At some point, we need to believe that. Can you say amen? Remember when they're in a ship? The ship is storm-tossed. Jesus is with them. Jesus is tired like that mama cat was from hunting. Jesus got tired. He had a body like ours. He's tired. He was wore out. He was weary at Jacob's well. He gets tired like y'all do. Listen, and like I do. He was tired. He's in the boat. He decides to take a nap while they're going across. A storm starts brewing. He's dead asleep. The storm picks up. He's dead asleep. The storm continues to blow. He's dead asleep. And they're wondering, why don't he wake up, get up, and do something about this situation? He's sleeping. I remember when one national evangelist, he said, we went on radio and we were doing good on radio. We decided to get on TV, but TV cost 10 times more for the time than radio did back then. It cost more than that now. He said when they took on the television ministry that gave them an international ministry instead of just a national ministry, you know, he said the enemy really fought it, and the funds was one of the areas that was fought. He said his wife, who's a woman of faith, she's sleeping like a baby. He said, I can't sleep worrying about where's the funds going to go to meet all the obligations. He said, I am pacing in the bedroom back and forth. And he said, it irritated me to look over and see her sleeping. He said, I wanted to go over and shake her and say, why don't you get up and help me worry? Jesus is sleeping. Wake up! Get up and do something! We're in real peril here. So they can't take it anymore. They said, how can he sleep through a storm? How can he sleep through a storm? And they go over and they shake him. And here's the first words out of their mouth is doubting his love. Not his power, but his love. Doubting his love. Doubting his love. Doubting his love. Master, don't you care that we perish? How many times in our flesh and our finite wisdom do we really question God's care and love for us when circumstances come and storms come? It's human nature. We're all subject to that vacillating faith. You know what he said? Here's what he said. He woke up, he got up, he stood up, and the first thing he did was say, where is your faith? Now here's what he didn't expect them to do. He didn't expect them. I've heard this preached the other way, but how many want to get it right here today? Amen. He didn't expect them to do what only he could do. Listen, I don't care how much faith you got. You are not God because of your faith. It's not about faith in itself, but the authorization to use authority. What manner of man is this? We're not talking about some preacher that thinks he's that man. There's only one man that qualifies. But what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, here's a newsflash. It ain't you. And it ain't that guy on television that thinks he is. And it ain't the person you heard on tape. Amen. There's one man that qualifies for that kind of authority. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Never a man spoke like that man. Glory to God. Amen. How many know him by name? How many know the name that holds that kind of authority? Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he didn't expect them. When he said, where's your faith? He didn't want them to go out and speak to the storm. Here's where the faith was breaking down. Faith that he would speak to the storm, and that he didn't love them enough. He didn't have enough watch care over them to care that they're about to sink. That he could stay asleep instead of getting up and standing up and doing something. Amen. And while he was chiding them for their lack of faith in what? In his, not in his power, but in his love. How many know that if you believe in God at all, it's a given, he's got the power. That's not where faith breaks down. All power, he says, given me in heaven and earth. He demonstrated that. He's about to demonstrate it again. Jeremiah said, Lord, I mean, he was just bowled over by his power. He said, Lord God, thou hast made heaven and earth by thine outstretched hand. ain't nothing too hard for thee. You can create the universe and the world and everything that is in it. There's nothing too hard for you. So does God have the power to do everything? Does He have the knowledge and the wisdom and know-how? Does He know how to do all things? The Bible said He's omnipotent, all-powerful, and He's omniscient, all-knowing. And part of that knowledge, the Bible said, God knows how to deliver the righteous and to reserve the wicked unto punishment and judgment. God knows that. You say, I'm in a pickle, I'm in a fix. God knows how to deliver you. And God knows where you are in your pickle and in your fix. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. But when you start doubting His love, that is the place where faith begins to break down. He said, where's your faith? And He walked to the front of the ship. And He said, peace, be still. And the storm didn't. See, this is how His authority works. There wasn't an hour and a half of the storm moving on and the sea calming down. It said, and immediately, the moment He spoke it, creation recognized the Creator and obeyed. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you hold your praise back at the appointed time to worship God, when He went into Jerusalem and the kids were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and everybody's waving palm fronds, and it made the disciples nervous. Amen. And they told them to hold their peace. And Jesus said to them, have you not heard, amen, that in the mouth of babes praise is perfected? In other words, these children are doing it from the heart. You go up to the temple and go through all of these motions from the head, but their praise is pure. It's from the heart. And that's what God is looking for, is something pure from the heart. Not anything we have to offer, but something from the heart that says, I love you, I honor you. Can you say amen? In the mouth of babes, praise is perfected. And He said, you know, this is an appointed time for praise to be offered. And if these stop praising me, God is able to make the rocks cry out and praise me. Woo! I like that song that says, before the rocks cry out, I just got to praise Him. Ain't no rock going to do my worshiping for me. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise Him. Amen. Get in church, you hear a preacher get this excited. You hear the high praises of God going up and you say, oh, I don't believe in emotionalism. Oh, yeah. Let somebody get your parking space at Sears. Oh, yeah. You just won the 43, how many million was Lotto last night? Nobody knows? I can tell you, I've been praying somebody would win it, I tell you. Somebody that knew how to use it and what to do with it. They used to tell me when I worked, every time it got big, they'd get me, I'd be getting a drink of water. At break time, somebody would ease up to me and say, Preacher Bob, if I win the Lotto, I'm going to build you a church. I said, if you win the Lotto, I'm going to hunt you down and hold you to your word. You say, amen. You know what they were thinking? If I promise to give God some of it, He'll give me the edge. He'll give me the winning number. Can you say, amen? Like the t-shirt I saw, amen, Lord, please help me to win Lotto that I can prove to you that it won't change me. Can you say, amen? But if you, all the folks that don't believe in emotionalism, see, it's only in church is where you're supposed to suppress it. If the Bucks ever win a Super Bowl again, if it ever happens, amen, if it ever happens, I mean, you know, did you know, they get destructive, some of these sports fans. They get destructive with their joy. They turn over cars. Hey, our team won. They turn over a Lexus and somebody's saying, what? What? And you know what? Everybody's caught up in the frenzy. They don't think it's unusual. Illegal, yeah, but not unusual. But where do you find the quietness? God. You can almost hear the pin drop. God. And He's not even God anymore. He's God. He's in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Well, of course we're to reverence the presence of God. But the Bible said the way we're to approach His presence is to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts by verbalizing that gratitude in praise. And come before His presence with singing. Clap your hands, O ye people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Boy, the voice of triumph. The voice of triumph. There's victory in Jesus, and I just got to praise God for victory. Amen. You know, every one of us should be able to say, victory is my business. And my business is good. Can you say amen? There's victory for you today. But if you're going to doubt His love, hold back your worship. And He says, where's your what? Not where's your father. He's where He said He would be. Where's your faith? Here's another one I want to get right. Because He didn't expect them to speak to the storm. By the way, these guys today that think they're in that category, they you know where they need to go? You know where they need to go? You know where they need to go? They need to go to one of these cancer hospitals for children. Don't they? Why can't they with that kind of faith and authority? Because they don't have that kind of authority. If they did, they could. And if they could, they should. But they can't. Because God hasn't authorized them to do that. He's authorized Him to do that. And it's through faith in His name that this man was healed at the Gate Beautiful. Can you say amen? Not faith in the authority of the preacher or the anointing of the teacher, but in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen? They're in a storm again. They're always in storms when these faith failures occur. Storms. It's easy on the mountaintop, isn't it? Everybody worships on the mountaintop. They just sent me a rebate from income tax and I paid my house off early. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah. You're the tallest one in praise on Sunday morning. Jesus lifted me. Hallelujah. Isn't it true? Standing up on the mountaintop, no storm, the weather is calm. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. Amen. When you are in a high-end department store, somebody here bought for my wife's birthday a high-end purse. One of those, they don't steal it for what's in it because the purse is worth more than what's in it. You know what I'm saying? Just the purse itself says, you better hold on to me. Somebody see that? It's one of those brands that stand out. That's an expensive purse. Because she don't buy that except at the G&W fashion shop. Yeah, I wore a shirt to our pastor's meeting that's brand new, had the tag on. Got it at the G&W fashion shop. Fit me perfect. I went in the restaurant for that pastor's breakfast, and a pastor sitting there, and he was dressed really good. And he said, I love that shirt. It looks so good on you. He said, where did you get it? Because he was, I thought he was, you know, just, I said, the G&W fashion shop. And he said, can you tell me? See, he wanted to go shop there. Amen. Because he wanted to look sharp. What does ZZ Top say? There's something about a well-dressed man. Every time I see you, I think of ZZ Top. Not, and Jesus, of course. Amen. And I said, the G&W fashion shop. He said, where is that? I said, it's the Goodwill in Brandon. G&W fashion shop. Say, Brother Bimba, you ain't got no pride. Don't need none. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I was a little proud. Hate to admit it, but I was kind of proud of getting that shirt for $4.57 that you'd have to pay $50 for in Dillard's. Anyway, my wife's in Dillard's trading out this purse because it wasn't the color, just to get, you know, the same purse in a different color. And there's a lady there dressed to the nines, and she's obviously got money, and she's picking out a purse. And it was, I think my wife said it was $300 purse. You know, the one she was looking at, a $300 purse. And when she saw the purse, she said, "Thank you, Jesus." Because she felt the Lord had led her to the $300 purse. And that's okay. It's good to thank Jesus if you've got the money in your pocket to pay, spend $300 for a purse. Obviously, she doesn't need tires on her car. Can you say amen? Because if you need tires on your car, you can't buy no $300 purse. You've got to get some tires on that bad boy. Or you're not even going to get to the store no more. Or to work on Monday. Obviously, her air conditioning system hasn't broken. Amen? Because if your air's off on the summertime here in Florida, you got to fix that bad boy. Amen? You better fix it. You're going to melt down. Amen? But if you got money and your air's working, you got brand new tires on your brand new car, and you got a credit card you can slap down and buy a $300 purse without blinking, and you go to church on Sunday morning and all your kids say, "I love you, Mama. I love you, Mama. I just want to do everything you taught me, Mama. Oh, everything is wonderful." And your friends say, "Oh, you're so wonderful. I love you too. I just call to say, I love you." Can you say amen? And you go in on Sunday morning and say, "Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Got my $300 purse. Tires on my car. My air's working. My house is paid for. Hallelujah." Easy to do that. Faith isn't tested when you're on the mountaintop. Faith is tested when you're in the deep, dark valleys of life. And let me submit this to you. Faith that can't be tested can't be trusted, because it will fail you when you need it the most. Can you say amen? Jesus said, "I'm going to pray. I want you to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I want you to go to the other side." So they take off to the other side. Said, "I'll meet you there." How he's going to get there? Don't even ask. He said it. Hath he not said it? Hath he not said it? See, as far as God is concerned, once he says it, it's settled. And that's why we're to pray what he has settled in heaven to be manifest on the earth. Can you say amen? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth, as where it's already happened. In his heart, his word has went forth. His purpose has been revealed, because his promise has been made. Can you say amen? Thy will be done where? Where? On earth. His word is settled in heaven. Amen. But he wants whatever is settled in heaven to be manifest here on earth. In the beginning it worked that way. In the beginning there wasn't nothing nowhere. Amen. The earth was without form and void, and waters covered the deep. There was no firmament in the beginning. But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word, when Jesus came, hallelujah, that was and with in the beginning, was made flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Can you say amen? We got prancing little preachers, and they're way taller than me. More influential and powerful than me. But they're prancing around like bandy roosters. Amen. Talking about little gods. Little gods. Because we have His faith, His authority. No, you do not. no one has that. Go to the hospital. Do something productive rather than just ask for more money. Amen. Go to the hospital. Go to St. Jude's where all these precious children are dying, and use that authority and that faith that you say that you have. Are you hearing me today? Don't just believe God for a multi-million dollar house. Go to the hospital and help somebody. Amen. 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 I'm going to call it out, even if it is in the Pentecostal charismatic world. Hey, we got to get it right. They're in the ship. Guess what happens? You know, I haven't found a journey in a ship. And please, if you schedule a cruise, take it. It's okay. Amen. I haven't found them going anywhere by ship. Any of the disciples, that storms didn't try to sink it. Anywhere he told them to go, storms hit it. God tells you to do something, guess what? I'm going to be a weatherman today for you. Come on, you don't have to watch the weather on the nines. I'll tell you right now what's going to happen. If you're in the will of God, there's a storm brewing. There's a storm coming. Amen. Paul said, every step I took in the will of God was against the wind of a mighty storm. A great and effectual door is open to me at Ephesus. And boy, because God's in it, it's going to be smooth sailing. No, because God's in it, a storm is coming. Amen. A great and effectual door. I'm going to stay right here where God sent me until Pentecost, because a great and effectual door is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Can you say amen? Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. Here it comes. I press. Everybody say, strain forward. Why did he have to strain forward to pursue the will and purpose of God? Because the winds were contrary. The storm was coming strong, can you say, man? And he's having to go against the wind. You can hear him singing it. He should have copyrighted the song. Hallelujah. Against the wind I'm running. Against the wind. Hallelujah. But I am running. Ever since God called me to preach, I've had to strain forward. It hadn't been a cakewalk. This is a battlefield, brother, we used to sing. Not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay and do the will of God and the work of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not here because of all the happy faces. If we take a photograph of the congregation, everybody hasn't got one of those smiley faces on. Amen. How many are aware that everyone in here doesn't smile? Amen. So I can't look at you guys for encouragement. I mean, some of you. It kind of ebbs and flows, you know. This week he smiled. And next week we made it a grin from him. We work at it. Some of the rest of you might even believe that God loves you enough to sustain you through this storm and take you through this storm. He wants to get it through to you. You know what he's saying today? You're saying, where's my Father? He's saying, where's your faith? You're saying, where's Jesus? He's saying, where's your faith? Faith to talk to the storm. No, faith to trust Him. In the storm. He who has power over the storm. And power over you. Praise God. And power to give you. So here's what these guys are saying. Here's Peter. He's in the ship. They're in a ship again. The storm's on again. Jesus is gone again. One time he's sleeping, now he's not even there. Amen. Come on, they're in the storm again. Jesus is gone. Here we are. Anybody ever old enough to remember Laurel and Hardy? Yeah. here's another fine mess you've gotten us into. Can you say amen? Here's another fine mess you've gotten us into. And then, of course, here's the answer to taking care of the mess. Oliver Hardy would say to Stan Laurel, just leave everything to me. You know it's going to go from bad to worse, right? I'm so glad God didn't leave it all up to me when the storms come. And that my faith is in Him. And that's why I don't need faith as big as the storm to get through the storm. Because Jesus said, if you had faith to speak to the storm, no faith in Him that has all power in heaven and earth. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you say to that mountain, be thou removed, is it because you've got faith only in your words, but that His kingdom is coming, His will is revealed to you, and you know He has the power to act on that mountain? It's not your word, it's His word that holds the authority. Can you say amen? You don't have the authority to go out and arbitrarily just do any of this stuff that they... Listen, if they had that kind of authority, these guys that prance around like that, they wouldn't be bellyaching about an offering. They wouldn't be manipulating and merchandising us. They wouldn't be writing you a letter. They'd just tell God, God, just pour it out. But you do get the letter, do you not? You are on the mailing list, are you not? One man said, I often wonder, when they talk about giving to God, they always give their address. Now, we understand what is meant. What is meant is if you give to the work of God. But you know what I'm talking about. There's people out there that just want it. One lady left her televangelist husband. And the reason she left, said, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't be part of the lie and the sham and the stuff that's going on. One guy that used to come here, I don't want to go too far in that. The lady on television, they'll give you the anointed stone of David. Lord have mercy. She's got 5,000 of them. Give it to you. Free of charge. Little blue something you put in the bottom of a fishbowl. You can buy it by the bag full. She'll give it to you. My dad, because she's a decent-looking lady, and my dad, he was 93, but he was, he thought ladies were nice people. He used to flirt with cashiers all the time, old enough to be his great-granddaughters, but not, flirt like a bad thing. He wasn't a masher. He just appreciated women. And all the men said, amen. Amen. Give me an amen. Give me one. Amen. I knew he's going to say amen. So, he got the stone. He's telling me about it. He said, Bobby, there was part of a prophecy directed to me. A prophecy came with the stone. No money. But there was a part of a prophecy. And for a mere $7, God wants you to hear the rest of this. If you'll send $7... Because they're easing you into it. They're easing you into it. They don't want to shock you right off the bat. For $7, you can get a little bit more. God has much more to say to you. And for a $7 offering, $7 starts... God's perfect number, by the way. So you know it's God now. Amen. It's 7, not 659. And so, they're out there. It's not amazing to me that they're out there. What amazes me is how many people that are so biblically illiterate and spiritually shallow, they don't recognize it and they're being fleeced and don't have sense enough to know it. I'm going to tell you something about prophecy, true prophets and prophecy. You can't buy it for any price. Because God's stuff ain't for sale. Can you say amen? You can get a blessing by being a giver, an investor in things. But God's stuff you don't purchase. I'll tell you, everything we have today was purchased at an old tree called Calvary. Can you, where he hung, amen, and was tortured to death. Everything came through the blood price that Jesus paid, and it ain't for sale at any price. It's too precious to put a price on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Freely you have received of that benefit. Freely give. So Dad, bless his heart, $431 a month Social Security. He sends in the seven to get a little more of the prophecy concerning him personally. He gets another letter in the mail. Thank you for the $7. Thus saith the Lord unto you, I will bring you to this, I will take you to that place in time. You will take a turn here and you will be blessed in the future. And for the rest of this prophecy, personal to you, for a gift of $70. And my dad said, 70. Yeah, wait a minute. He's got the pebble. One guy had a fluorescent cross some years ago. Remember the sword from Darth Vader swords that you could get? You hold it up next to the light, and it contains some of that light. You turn all the lights out, it glows in the dark. Well, you're supposed to set this fluorescent cross by your bed at night, by your lamp at night. Just before you go to sleep, you click off the lamp, the cross is still glowing. And on it, it is to protect you from all the demons that are outside your door. And they're saying when they turn that light out, just as soon as they turn that light out, I'm going to come in, I'm going to jump on him. As soon as that light goes out, I'm coming in. That light goes out, you start going to sleep, and here they come. And they see that cross growing in the dark, say, oh my Lord, there's a plastic fluorescent growing cross. People say, I got to have one. There's one guy selling water. Water, just plain old everyday water. People are buying it up. We need to get real. We need to get right with God. The Pentecost, the reason we're taking such flack right now is because this exists and there's no outcry from major Pentecostal preachers and denominations. I believe if we would police ourselves, we wouldn't be getting it in the neck from outside so bad. I want you to know I stand up, amen, in where I preach. I don't know what other people do, but in this pulpit, I will not let you be fleeced. I will not allow. Listen, I told you about a man that came in our church. I don't want you to think I was showing off my mean side, my bad self. Amen. But the guy that wanted to jump on a lady in our church and physically harm her, who had just beat up an old man and got out of jail for beating him up in a grocery line, hit him with a beer bottle, amen, and was, you know, I took him outside. I took him outside. No, I didn't ask the deacons to do it. I didn't ask my posse to do it here. Amen. Right now, I turn all the heavy work over to him. I'm too old. I took him outside. I sat him down on the bench in front of the church. And he wasn't as scared of going to jail. He'd been out of jail. He wasn't as scared of the popo. So I thought, if you ain't scared of them, I want you to get scared of me. So I sat with him, Brother Taylor, and I looked him eyeball to eyeball. I said, if you touch anybody here, we're not going to call the police on you. Because that don't seem to bother you. But I said, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to do it. I got a few rolls, but every roll's a jelly roll. That's what they used to say. Amen. That's what they used to say. WTMP. He could have beat me. But I called his bluff with the authority of Jesus. It wasn't me and my masculinity and me and my machismo. It was the fact that I won't let you hurt these sheep, and I believe God's going to back me up. I felt it. I didn't flex my pecs. Amen. I flexed my faith. Because I believe the God that stood with Samson and stood with David was standing right there with me. Can you say amen? And I felt his authority and his protection and his provision. Hallelujah. And a little short preacher got through to the man. He backed down and he backed off. You say, Brother Ben, what would happen if he hadn't? I have no idea. Amen. But here's the point I want to make. I don't just defend you from physical harm as a pastor and a shepherd. I defend you from spiritual harm. I don't want you taken advantage of. I don't want you misled. I don't want someone to mess you up spiritually to where you don't have his power, his peace, his goodness, his love. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want you to know him for yourself and know the word of God. One of these days I'm going to get a call to go home. I want my legacy to be that you got in the word and you got in the presence of God and you begin to know him. Hallelujah. Praise God for yourself. So when people come along, a guy come to our home as I get ready to close. A guy come to our home. He came in and he said, God has given me a message for your congregation. And I thought, okay, I'm open. I'm listening. I'm listening. I gave him the hearing. I respected and let him speak. He stood in our kitchen when we lived behind the church. And he said, God has given me a revelation that Jesus was not virgin born. It was just this, and he went into why he believed that, and it needs to be clarified, and this and that and the other. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, if Jesus isn't virgin born, he's not the Messiah. If he isn't virgin born, then he isn't sinless. Amen. And the prophecy concerning the Messiah has not been fulfilled. Behold, this shall be a sign unto you, Isaiah said. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Can you say amen? And the government will be on his shoulders. Hallelujah. Listen, I said, so here I've got the New Testament, and I've got the words of Jesus himself. I've got the words of Isaiah. And then there's you, sir. You say, well, did you say God bless him? No. Do I want to bless something that's wrong? I partake of the sin. And sometimes in our silence, I have asked myself, where are the major Pentecostal denominations that need to stand up and say, this is incorrect. This is not biblical. This is not the truth. Listen, doctors, there's a code among doctors. One doctor used to come into surgery reeking of alcohol and do surgeries, and some of them were botched, and they fired him in Miami. They fired him and barred him from practicing medicine in that county and that city. So he goes to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and practices again. And none of his peers would rat him out. And one reason your doctor bill is so high, because malpractice insurance is going through the roof from so many lawsuits. And if we'd have honest doctors that don't come in drunk and botch things up, it wouldn't be through the roof. And a doctor that cares about the people he's serving, amen, it's not tattletaling to tell the truth. Can you say amen? And I'm going to tell you, no God-fearing preacher should run from the truth. We ought to be defenders of the truth, and we ought to be able to take it. And if we're wrong, we need to apply it to our heart and get it right. Amen. Listen to me carefully. So the truth is, you don't have that authority to use by your faith. Jesus has it. Jesus holds it. Any teaching on faith that makes you independent from God instead of more dependent on God is unbiblical teaching, and you ought to listen. You say, Brother Venable, should I walk away from that? No, you ought to run away from that. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 It is implied that they needed to go out and tell the storm to quit. No, when he said, where's your faith? It wasn't to stop the storm. It was to believe in his love. They were doubting his love. Hallelujah. So, they're in this storm again. I've been in a storm. Lord have mercy. I must have muscles in my thighs. I ain't going to show you, but they're, you know, because I've been against the wind, against the grain. I'm a peculiar guy. Because part of my own background, Pentecostalism, they don't like what I'm preaching today. Amen. And there are Pentecostals who want to come to church where they can be put in charge. Yeah, yeah. Where they can chart their own course. Amen. Amen. One preacher, he was getting huge offerings because he had a book on how to chart your own course. I can be anything I want and have anything I say. What? What? How to chart your own course. I'm reading. He's on TV blurting that stuff out, and I'm reading in the Bible, book of Isaiah, I believe it is again, and it said, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own way. That's why we need God so much. It's not in you to do that. That's God's business. Say it, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own way. Look that up in the New International. It said it's not in man that walketh to chart his own course. So who's going to buy a book on how to chart your own course when the Bible said you can't do it and you're not supposed to try? Go to now, you that say tomorrow we'll do this. Tomorrow we'll go in that city and make money. And tomorrow we'll go over here and build. But you should say, if the Lord wills. Because you don't know what another day is going to bring. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due season. Can you say amen? When he figures you're ready, not when you tell him you are. Hallelujah. Are you getting this today? You're going to go home and get rid of that stone? Put it in the fishbowl. Let it do something good. Yeah, it's all for sale. Everything's for sale. One guy had a blessed wallet. He had a blessed wallet. He opened it up on TV. He opened it up and it's full of bills. Now I have a high definition TV. So I could see they were all ones. I want $50 and I want all ones. It makes it look pretty fat. But it don't go too far. I mean, I'll take it if you don't think it's worth anything, but it don't go far. But he had this blessed wallet. And you could see he had a wad of bills in there, all ones. At least he didn't use, you know, Monopoly money. But anyway. And of course, people are sending in to get it. Because if I carry this, God going to fill it up for me. It's amazing. It's amazing out there. So here's the other one. They're in the storm. Peter's looking over the ramparts. Storm is bad. Looks like the ship could sink if something don't give. Jesus, where's Jesus? He wasn't really looking for him. He's just wondering, I wish he was here now. I wish he was on board. He looks through the wind and the rain. And he sees what he thinks in the fog and rain and wind must be an apparition. A ghost. A ghostly figure out there. Because it's in the form of a man. And he is serenely walking on top of the raging sea. And he's straining now. And he's really straining. He said, I can't believe it. It's impossible, but it looks. Hey! Jesus! Is that you? walking. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, and he would have passed them by. Come on, when you get too discouraged to pray and to cry out to him, I'm waiting. Come on. Devil don't want you to pray. Especially when you don't feel like praying and you need him the most. Jesus! He hollered out again. I love Peter's impetuousness at least. He said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come to thee. That's you, bid me come to where you are. And Jesus said what he'll always say. Come. And impetuous Peter jumped out of the boat. And he went tearing off to Jesus. And he saw that the storm increased and became increasingly boisterous. And he did what humans always do. He began to sink. Can you say, man? He began to sink. Now, here's the deal. What is taught out there is, if you just get enough of the Word in you, enough faith in the Word, because what he did, he acted on the Word. Yes, he did. But the Word is always associated and attached to the person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you can't separate God from His Word or His Word from God. So when you get Word alone without God, you don't have a pure faith. You've got something wrong in there. There's something wrong in the mix. Amen. Jesus did not expect Peter, just because he said, come, amen, to just stand on the Word. And listen, he expected Peter to keep his eyes on him and not the circumstance. His source was Jesus. His source was not his faith in the Word, but his faith in the faithfulness of his Savior and his Sovereign. Can you say amen? Looking to my faith that has been built so big. No, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. And when he began to sink, and Jesus didn't do anything. He let him begin to sink. He didn't chide him for not using his faith to not sink. In fact, he honored his faith. When his faith became pure in Christ, Christ alone. He began to sink, and he did what everybody in here has enough faith to do. Help me, Lord! Immediately! See, this teaching that gets you away from Him, independent from Him, out on your own with faith in your faith instead of faith in His faithfulness. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that the faith that's in the Bible is a God that responds to your cry when you cry unto Him in faith. Can you say amen? Because everybody in here can do it. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a faithful Father. Jesus loves you enough to give His life for you. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? If you've got that tape at home, throw it away. Because it's already failing you. You wouldn't need prayer from anybody else if you had that kind of faith. You wouldn't need help from anybody. If you had that kind of faith, not even from God, because your faith would deliver you, not your Father. My Bible tells me to pray to my Father, not to look to my faith. It's my faith in Him. Hallelujah. And I've been at death's door, and I'm going to tell you, all those letters and marbles and phony crosses mean nothing. Jesus is everything. His presence, His peace. There's nothing like it in all of the world. And the longer I live, the more I read the Scriptures, and the more I walk with God, the more dependent I am on Him. For every breath, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And immediately, Jesus has moved from where he was to where Peter was sinking. Just like that, immediately Christ responded. And reaching down and taking him by the hand. Oh yeah, somebody say, that's what I'm talking about. I just love it when God... My dad used to sing and play that old hymn of the faith from years gone by. I was lost and undone without God nor His Son when He reached way down for me. David put it this way. Hey man, David the psalmist, he lifted me. I did not extract myself. He lifted me from the miry clay. Can you say, man, hallelujah? And taking him by the hand and lifting him up, Jesus and Peter, arm in arm. Who's holding who up? Is Peter just walking the water? Did Jesus say, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen? If you didn't have enough faith, you should have stayed in the boat? No, amen. He was showing him something that would follow him through his whole life and ministry. Amen, that there will be times when you're standing on my word, but your flesh, amen, and your humanity, when you see the storm through the getting worse, you're going to get that sinking feeling. Call on me. I'll be there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I won't let you fall. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Peter made it, didn't he? In spite of his weaknesses, his fallacies, and his failures. And they walked back to the security of the boat. I've heard it preached that Peter, if you just get enough of the word in you, the word, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You don't separate the Word from God and get your faith from the Word instead of your Heavenly Father. And they're trying to separate the Word from the Father, the Word from Christ. And so it's your faith. And who gets the glory when the victories come? When you got it with your faith, you get it. But when He does it, the Father receives it. And people that He has helped in life, can you say amen? They give Him all the honor, praise, and glory. Amen? Amen. They asked Stuart Briscoe, and they could ask us now. We're going to have our 51st wedding anniversary. There's been hard times in our life. There's been pressures from without and within family and church. Pastors are divorcing. It's an extraordinary rate because a lot of it is the pressure of church that intrudes into the relationship between the husband and wife. As one preacher's wife put it in one of our meetings, she said he was a fantastic pastor, but he was a rotten husband and father. God didn't design it to be that way. There's got to be a balance. Can you say amen? It's got to be a balance. And when it's in the imbalance, something is wrong. When PTL failed, Jim Baker's wife said PTL. Before the woman came into his life, ministry became his mistress. The success, the fame, the glory of leading the ministry took precedence over being a good father and a good husband and a godly man. God wants me to be a godly man before He wants me to be a preacher to others. He's more concerned about my relationship with Him than the anointing on me to preach to others. And I don't want church or anything else to get in the way of my relationship with my God. I love you. Amen. And I'll pray for you. But I won't let what you do get in between me and my Father. Because I don't know what you're going to do. And I can't control what you're going to do. But I can control what I let affect me, regardless of what anybody else does. You may smile, you may frown, you may leave here, you may stay here. But I've got an assignment from the Lord. I want to keep my eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. Going to spend time with my wife. going to spend time with my children. Going to spend time with my father. Read my job description the other day. Choose you some men. I saw Terry mowing out here. I passed as he was leaving, mowing the property. Amen. People were cleaning the church. People are offering counseling when I'm not available. But I'm there if you need me. But I'm investing in my family. Investing in my children. Investing. Listen, choose you men full of the Holy Ghost to take care of everything else. That we might give ourselves to prayer. I was praying for everybody in this building the four days this week. Everybody, by name. And I said, that's my job description, that we might give ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the Word. Can you say, man, I'm called to do that. I'm appointed to do it. I'm anointed to do that. Amen. What I can't do is get down in that hole of depression and wallow in that depression. I can't please everybody. I can't make everybody happy. I can introduce you to Jesus, but I cannot establish a relationship with Him. That's between you and He. And you say, man, if Jesus can't satisfy your soul, I'm not a substitute for Him. Can you say, man, if Jesus can't give you peace, I can't inject it into you. But I can challenge you to get to know Him. Hallelujah. Who said, come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And you'll find rest for your troubled soul. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Can't make you love Him. I can't make you serve Him. I can't make you come to church. And God don't want me making you do anything. He wants you to love Him enough, honor Him enough, get to know Him enough to say it's worth everything to follow this great King. Can you say, man? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, just so you know where I'm coming from. Where's your faith doesn't mean why didn't you speak to the storm. It was why did you doubt my love for you. It wasn't because Peter just quit quoting the Word and got his eyes off of the Word that he sunk. Because he got his eyes off of Jesus. But even while he was sinking, he cried to the one we're told to look to. There's a scripture that says, have faith in God. They have changed that. They have altered it to say, have the faith of God. Implying that they have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith, which knows no limits, that just, you know, see, when God says something, He's got the power and authority because He's God Almighty to carry it out. They want to imply that you have that same kind of faith and your words hold the same power and authority. And that's pulling you away from a dependence on the Lord. To an independent from Him, operating by the power of your own hyper, highly developed faith. No, it stands as it reads, have faith in God. Some people got these tapes, come to me for prayer. They come to me when they're beat up, battered, and bruised. And listen, if that works, why are you beat up? Why are you battered? Why are you in my prayer line? Can you say, man, if that guy's telling you the truth, why don't you call his prayer line? Why don't you read that letter you got again? Why don't you pick up your little blue stone and throw it at the demons? We in the Pentecostal charismatic world look at our seats empty of people to receive what the Word of God says. And we look at the seats of some of these shysters filled with attending, giving people. Truth has fallen in the streets. And here's the problem. No one lays it to heart. I take it to heart. I want you to know the truth is Jesus doesn't want you to be in the Father's place. He don't want you to be in His place. He don't want me trying to fulfill the Holy Spirit's office. That's exclusive. There's a preacher in South Korea that has a church of 50,000. And he said, there are two chairs. He has guest speakers come and speak for him from all over the world. He said, there is chair for me, three chairs, I'm sorry. He said, there is chairs for me where I sit to introduce the guest speaker. When I speak, I sit in this chair. No one sits in that chair. There is chair for guest minister in case a guest minister is there. Or Roberts has spoken from there. Billy Graham, I think, has spoken from there. Others have come and spoke from that church in Seoul, Korea. Address 50,000 people, 10 services of 10,000 every Sunday in the snow, sleet, rain, bitter winters in Korea. He said, one seat, no one ever sits in. No one ever sits in that seat. And someone asked him, why? In Korean, in that broken English of the Korean language, why no one sit in that seat ever? No matter how high the dignitary, pastor never sit in that seat. No preacher, no matter how highly honored around the world, ever sit in that seat. Who that seat for? And he was waiting. He was waiting. He said, this seat for pastor. This seat for guest. He said, that seat for Holy Spirit. He said, that seat is for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he sit there. And he said, I pray when I preach on Sunday morning, so many people come to be healed, to be saved, to be delivered, to be set free. And I tell him before I walk out, Holy Spirit, if you don't come, it's going to be a bad day. Everyone that come to see me going to be disappointed. But every one that come to see Jesus going to receive. Hallelujah. 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 Sirs, the scripture said we would see Jesus. Can you say amen? I want you to see Jesus. I want you to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. I want you to learn of Him, take His yoke upon you, and find rest for your soul, restoration for your life. I want you to love Him enough to take up your cross and follow Him and never look back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many know that God will take you through the storm? If you begin to sink, don't sweat it. It's not your grip on God. It's God's grip on you. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Everybody say, God's grip on me. We used to sing something, got a hold on me. Oh, it must be love. Something's got a hold on me. And it holds me firm. It holds me tight. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I love to follow Jesus because I know this love will not let me go. It won't turn me loose. Paul put it this way. There's nothing. Demons, devils, angels, principalities, circumstances of life. There is nothing present, nothing that could ever happen in the future, nothing in heaven and nothing on earth that can ever separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Can you say, man, nothing can ever separate me from that. And that was the foundation for his faith and faithfulness. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Well, that's the foundation I want to be on. That's the foundation I plant my feet, stake my life and soul on. And that's the foundation that I try to build into the hearts of people over which I have any influence. Amen. God loves you today. And on this Mother's Day, He's honored every mom in this building by speaking to His covenant people of old, resonating into His covenant people of this very day. You know what He spoke and said? As a mother comforteth her children. That good loving mama. He said, so I will comfort you, O house of Israel. And it always comes to mind, somebody had a bad mother, knew of a mother that didn't have that kind of love. And he said, can a mother forsake her suckling child? Is it possible for a human mother in this fallen world to do that? Yes, they may. But here's his commitment. But I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. The New Testament, he said, I'll never leave you. Come on, it's the same God, same word, inseparable. Can you say, man, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will go with you all the way. It wasn't a peculiar anointing on the day of Pentecost that caused these trembling, filled with trepidation followers in that upper room to go out with courage and many of them to lay down their life for him. You know what it was? It's what he told them when he appeared. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Wherever you go, I'm right there with you. And how is he with us? By the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Even to the end of the age. And it turned cowards into courageous followers of Jesus that followed him and loved not their life to the death. Hallelujah. Isn't it incredible what love can do? It bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. It never fails and it never ends. Follow after faith, hope, and divine love, charity. These three, but the greatest of these. Top shelf is love. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? God is so good. God is so good. This is so scratched up, I hope it will play. I got up this morning and I felt the love of God. And I believe the love of God. And I believe God is not through with me yet. Obviously, he isn't, because I was knocking on heaven's door. This September be 2 years? I was in the hospital and they didn't know what I'm going to pull through. I ain't going to pull through. If I do pull through, will I have the use of my arm, my mouth, my legs? 3 days. 3 days. This September will mark 2 years. 3 days in the hospital. And I walked out. Came to church that Sunday. Come on, I'm faithful. Whether you smile, whether you amen, whether you like me or don't like me, whether you come or stay home, whether you give or don't give. This is my assignment. Can you say amen? Amen. And I'm here. Doug grabbed a chair for me. He had compassion on the old guy. He said he just had a stroke and here he is going to preach. Do you want a chair? And I said, no, sir, I don't need it. Amen. The anointing came and I preached again. Now, that's not to say I don't use wisdom. Amen. If you need me, I'm there for you. Call me at any time. When your husband was in the hospital dying, you called. We went in there and led him to Jesus so he'd be in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When Brother Willie was going through a serious nervous problem, amen, we sat in the office and I said, you come to the right place and the right man, because I've been exactly where you are and I know exactly what you need. And God pulled me through. He's going to pull you through. And he has, and he's established him. Can you say amen? When Kim's mother was in the hospital with cancer, getting ready to pass away, it was my privilege to lead her to the Lord in the presence of her family. And she accepted Jesus and acknowledged him, and on her way from this earth said, I can't wait to see the rest of my family that's waiting for me. Had God's perfect peace within. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is a gracious God. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! And when I rose up this morning, I didn't have no doubt that God is going to take care of me. And I'm going to tell you something. As I prayed for you this week, when I rose up this morning, John, I didn't have no doubt. I don't have a lot of confidence in John. But I got a lot of confidence in who's living in him and who's watching over him. And who promised to never leave him. Amen. And that means I confident Christ in John. Can you say amen? I don't have a lot of confidence in me, but boy, I got confidence in Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But it's always him and not me. Glory be to God. Amen. Mama Burke, on Mother's Day, what an appropriate lady to sing us home on this Mother's Day. Mama Burke led as the lead singer for the Mississippi Mass Choir for years. She was promoted to heaven not too awful long ago, I believe, but Mama Burke was a mother in Israel. She was a mama to everybody spiritually. How many know we need those spiritual mothers and those spiritual fathers? Can you say amen? Let's lift up the Lord as we get ready. If you have to go and you got appointments, just ease on out, but I want to praise Him before we go home. Happy Mother's Day.